I know it's Tuesday. We can thank the bank holiday for that, but we still want to get an update on what's been happening in soccer in North America. MLS Monday is back, as always, for this. Drew Farmer joins me. Drew, good afternoon.
Hey, Andy. Always good to be back to talk a little Major League Soccer, USL, NASL, and the high points and low points of the game over in the US.
I do love how we've expanded ourselves out just beyond the MLS. More on that shortly. First, something that I know has caught your attention, and then I got really quite into this as well. If you look back a little in history, Major League Soccer, there was a player who came through who was very young, 14, 15, and that was Freddie Adu. We all know that since then his career maybe hasn't gone quite as was planned, because he was going to be the world's biggest footballer at one point. I don't know if there's a guy who's been dubbed quite that, but I see Sporting KC have signed themselves a 15-year-old.
Yeah, that's right. They have now signed a 15-year-old by the name of Gianluca Busio from their academy, who is projected to have a big career, at least that's the hopes. And he becomes the second youngest player to sign an MLS contract and takes over that rank from Vancouver's Alfonso Davies. Now, Kansas City have gone out and signed this player from their academy, and we've seen a lot of this from Major League Soccer teams over the last 10 years, really, Andy, because prior to 2008, a lot of MLS teams, they only got a lot of their, I guess you could say, homegrown talent from the university and college ranks. But in 2008, there was the initiative of the homegrown player rule to bring players through academies and to develop their own players. And Kansas City is now trying to do that. This Busio becomes their fifth player to sign from their academy, and you know, they're very excited about him. He's a forward who has played for the U.S. national youth teams, and again, like I said, a lot of it is expected from him. And if he can do what the previously mentioned Alfonso Davies is doing in Vancouver, then you know, it's going to be a good young career for this young man. So Kansas City has brought him in and signed him to a deal to in hopes of keeping European teams away from him. Part of the reason, I guess, is why they've done this.
Obviously, I drew the initial comparisons with Freddie Adu. I imagine that apart from the age thing, nobody else is at all talking about that. He's just seen as a player that's worth, as you say, making sure nobody else can nab, basically, and then see how he develops.
Yeah, that's right. There have been quite a few comparisons in the age to Freddie Adu that have come up on social media and in headlines of stories that have been written about him. But, you know, as I said, you know, they're trying to, MLS teams are trying to keep teams away from this young talent that's coming up. And, you know, in the last 10 years, 175 players have been signed to homegrown player contracts and from the academies and brought through. And we've seen some really good players. Alfonso Davies is one. Diego Fagundes in New England is another. And, you know, there's a player that right now, an American player who is playing for Borussia Dortmund by the name of Christian Pulisic. He's 18 years old and a fantastic talent, and in my opinion, probably the best U.S. international right now with the men's team. And he was able to fall through the fingertips of clubs, basically that had the chance to, you know, go out and scout him, Philadelphia Union, Columbus Crew, but that didn't happen, and he was spotted by Dortmund, and you know, he got away. This is a way to keep that young American talent there in the U.S. and to try to develop it in Major League Soccer and hopefully get those big transfer fees paid for these players. So, you know, a good move by Sporting Kansas City. Some might see signing a 15-year-old to be a bit of a, you know, a strange move, or they're going to push him real hard right now. But, you know, to get that talent and to keep those big teams away, it's a good thing to do.
Now, we will get back to Major League in a second. I think just branch out, and we've been talking in the past about some of these attendances that we're now getting at the leagues that are below Major League Soccer. So the likes of Cincinnati FC, or FC Cincinnati that we've spoken about and things. And it's being borne out that because suddenly we're seeing official figures that are, you know, record amounts of people going to see this level of soccer in the US.
Yeah, that's right, Andy. There's, you know, a great report over the weekend of the USL, which is one of the two second division leagues in the United States. They have surpassed the 1.5 million mark for attendance this season. So a fantastic year for them, and they're really drawing out the fans. And, you know, you mentioned FC Cincinnati just a second ago, and they do lead the way in the USL with their average attendance of over 20,000 people. But you know, other teams, Sacramento Republic out in California, they're averaging about nearly 12,000 people a game. Louisville City is doing very well, and even Phoenix Rising, who we talked about earlier this season, they're doing well. So the USL is throwing around its weight, I guess you could say, in U.S. soccer, and they kind of benefit a bit from having a relationship with Major League Soccer, as well as some of the B teams, if you will, are playing in the USL. So great things there, and again, seeing the growth of the sport in the U.S.
You mentioned about Phoenix Rising there, of course, Didier Drogba's team, and did I see some social media where things maybe hadn't gone quite so right for Phoenix Rising in the last few days?
Yeah, over the weekend there was a bit of a problem with the club. They've made some headlines, I guess, for the wrong reasons. You mentioned before that Didier Drogba is there at Phoenix Rising. He's a player and part of the ownership group. But over the weekend, the team's supporters group, Los Bandidos, they decided that they wanted to show their where they stood against racism and some of the things that are going on in the U.S. over the last couple of weeks, over the last month or so, and they decided that they were going to hold up a banner that said, "Stop Racism." A simple enough message with a few, as they put it, hate marks with X's through them on the banner. But the club didn't seem to take too kindly to this being held up during the game, and had stewards remove the banner from the supporters, which prompted the supporters then to quickly walk out on the game. And you know, this is something that is very different in the USA. We don't see a lot of sporting events to where fans are holding up banners or flags or whatnot, you know, representing their stance on certain political and social movements. But this is one group that has, and it's not really gone down well with the club, and I think maybe a bit misunderstood by the club. But, you know, it's something that the supporters group is going to be sitting down, apparently, with the ownership group there in Phoenix to really talk it through and to see what they can come up with, you know, some kind of a stance on this.
Now, to move us back to Major League Soccer, and earlier in the season, we were waxing lyrical about how amazing Chicago Fire were. Since then, things have changed, and they've almost become the polar opposites. They've almost become as bad as they were good previously, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely, Andy, and Chicago are really struggling right now. Four consecutive losses, and they lost over the weekend at home to lonely Minnesota United, who, you know, have barely been able to catch a break all season. But Chicago have really dropped in the standings as well, and only 5 points separate them from being in fourth place where they are now, with seventh place Montreal, which would see them drop out of the playoffs entirely. And we only have a few more weeks of the MLS season to go, so Chicago really struggling right now, and they really need to find a way to turn things around to get themselves back on track. And you know, a lot of their problems seem to be defending. They've given up quite a few goals. They've given up 10 goals in their last four games. So they've got to really tighten up to make sure that they ensure their first playoff appearance in quite some time.
Yeah, they've not been a team we associate with the playoffs in ages. Bastian Schweinsteiger, obviously the big name that went over there, he seemed to be the man who was making them tick. Just in your opinion, Drew, is it a case that he's maybe a little tired now? Is it a case that the opposition know that really if you close him down, Chicago have nothing? I mean, how do you see this huge change?
Well, Schweinsteiger had an assist again over the weekend, assisting David Akam's goal. And, you know, Chicago is still, you know, done pretty well scoring-wise with Nemanja Nikolic with 16 goals this season, David Akin with 14. But, you know, outside of those two, they've really not had quite as much scoring. And as I said, the defense has been very poor as of late, 10 goals in their last four games given up. And, you know, it's just one of those things where I think they kind of peaked a bit too early. And with the way that Major League Soccer is, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint, and there's a lot of peaks and valleys that go on during the season. So they've hit a bit of a low point right now, and they really need to turn things around to, you know, like I said, ensure that they make it into the playoffs against a very competitive Eastern Conference.
Now, we spoke about this last week. We spoke about it previously as well. The fact that Major League Soccer players do not travel in chartered planes. They have to go with everybody else. You and I could be on exactly the same plane as them. However, it looks as though this might be something that's coming up for a bit of negotiation. 2020, I think there's going to be some new proposals brought in, and I can certainly understand with more of the global superstars heading to America, them saying, hang on, we are not going to fly coach like everybody else.
Yeah, that's right. In 2020, there will be a new bargaining agreement between the league and the players' union. And in the past, the two sides have negotiated on various things, from salary to some of the travel that goes on in Major League Soccer. And the last time that this deal came up, salaries were one of the big sticking points, and MLS ended up increasing the salary cap that it currently has. And right now, the travel is one of the areas that a lot of people think could be changed, because according to some sources, there are a lot of Major League Soccer owners and ownership groups that really want to increase their investments in the league right now. They're seeing the league as a chance to grow, and this is the prime opportunity for them to really put some money behind it and to see it become even bigger than it already is. Now, there are other groups who are very much against this idea, and there are groups who aren't really interested in investing heavily. One group that, New England Revolution, for example, is one team that is cited often as a team that isn't really one that wants to invest heavily into the team or heavily into soccer in the area. That team is owned by Robert Kraft, who also owns the New England Patriots, and we all know how, for all those who follow the NFL, know how great they are on that side. But for Major League Soccer, they don't really invest a lot of money. They still play in an NFL stadium, and there's a lot of things that are fans would like to change there. But there are those that want to see where MLS can go if they just put a little bit more money to it. And part of the things that they would like to change is having more expensive flights, having these charter flights that will get players to stop being in airports and waiting on delayed flights, much like you and I would be doing if we were flying across the U.S. So, you know, there's a lot that's going to be discussed, I think, when it comes to this new contract between the league and the players' union, and I think this is just going to be one of the key things that we'll see. I think salaries is another thing that we'll see, and possibly a new increase in the salary cap, which I think MLS definitely needs to have.
I think we should also try to work on those who do podcasts and try and spread the word of Major League Soccer. They should include us in the pay rises, and that we don't have to fly coach anymore. I think we could do that, couldn't we, Drew?
That'd be fantastic. I'd love to be bumped up to first class.
Same here. If you want more Major League Soccer chat, myself and Drew will be back in 7 days' time. Remember, if you want to influence what we're talking about on MLS Monday, find us on Twitter. We are just hashtag MLS Monday on there. For this week, though, Drew, thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy. Always great to be back.